Hey guys, it's the 11-11 Make-A-Wish podcast. It's that time again. If you're tuning in and it's not 11-11, well, just pretend. Imagine. Use your imagination, because right now, it's 11-11 Make-A-Wish podcast. You're here tonight with, or today actually, with the usual Kayla, me. Hi, everybody. And my wonderful, very patient co-host, Tyler, Dr. Tyler Lemko. Thank you.
Thank you
for being here.
Thanks.
And today we have a very, very special guest. I'm pretty sure I've been saying that about all the guests so far, but truly this person holds a very special place in my heart. So like personally, a very special one tonight. A very talented, hilarious, smart, spicy, witty, clever person. I admire this person a lot. It is the one, the only, Ines P. Anaya.
Woo! Hi.
Thank you. Oh my God, I'm so awkward. Thank you for being here tonight.
Thank you for inviting me.
So we like to give our guests the first wish. Or no, I think after the I feel like we should do our wishes first. Cause then I feel like from the no? What do you think?
Yeah, sure. You could lead off the wishes and we'll end off with our guest.
Okay. Okay, well, for starters, I wish that I wasn't so awkward right now in this moment.
I think it's charming, and I think it's the theme of our podcast, and it's enjoyable.
Thank you. Thanks for that reassurance. Do you have a wish, Tyler?
I wish that there was like, I like, not too often at a reasonable amount and intake, but sometimes I like to have a drink and sometimes I like to smoke weed. I wish there was another thing that wasn't like another step into drugs, if that makes sense.
What do you mean? Like
I wish there was a third thing that wasn't a dangerous drug.
like
cigarettes?
Something I could just like casually do on a Wednesday night to like feel a little different. But I don't want to start like doing drugs, you know?
Yeah. What about just like putting like a little, if it's just like once a week or something or every few days, why not just like throw in a little champignon in your smoothie once in a while?
I do that.
Just a little bit.
I do that sometimes, but I find like anything that's enough to really feel is like a commitment.
Yeah, with those. Yeah. So you're looking for like something like quick.
Yeah, something that like is the alternative of having like a few beers or like a couple puffs.
Well, the healthy answer here would be like, oh, just go for like a run and get those endorphins pumping.
Of course, there's exercise and meditation and like, I know.
Like, you want to feel something? You want to feel something.
Yeah, I want to ingest something illicit.
I don't know, like autoerotic asphyxiation?
Look, there's plenty of things to try, for sure.
Yeah. There's so many different things.
Yeah, I guess my wish is just, my wish has been answered. I'll just try more risky things.
Although when you think about it, autoerotic asphyxiation is like just about as dangerous as, if not, could it possibly be even more dangerous than picking up a casual drug habit?
Depends.
Oh, absolutely. I think so.
Yeah. Okay. So,
it must feel real good though.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess so. I guess there's like the thing to it, but I don't know. Yeah, I mean, like, it must, just like freaking doing hard drugs must feel be fun.
Yeah, and there's always that sweet spot of like not over the edge, but you could see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ines, what's your wish?
My wish is that I wish that people who don't pick up after their dogs would come home and magically find that same little pile of poop right on their doorstep.
Yeah.
Like, that's, it just follows. It follows. It's like the new, like, you know, the movie It Follows, but it's like with people who don't pick up their dog's shit, the shit follows them home.
It's called Shit Follows.
Perfect. Yeah, why have you had a did you have a personal experience recently with dog shit? I mean, living in Montreal, it's,
yeah, just walking around and seeing it, which pisses me off. And then also people who this is like a weird halfway point between not cleaning it up and just like also not taking care of it, is that I will come home sometimes and people will have hung their little bags of dog shit from like the fence in front of my apartment. And I'm like, you already went through the trouble to put it back. Just take it to a garbage can, goddammit.
Yeah, and you're going to freaking take the time to tie it in a knot on someone's fence. Yeah, right?
It's like it can't be. I don't know what's happening.
You didn't ask for anyone's decoration help?
No. I can put up my own shit, you know?
I want to take those people and rub their noses in it.
Yeah.
That's how you get pink eye, though.
That's what they deserve. That's the price to pay.
You deserve, yeah.
Yeah.
have you guys, as like adults, gotten pink eye?
I've never gotten pink eye.
I think I got pink. Is it strictly from poop?
No, I'm sure you get it from other things.
Okay, good.
Like, I got it
because I've had it before.
Do you know from
I think.
What?
I don't know. I was like a kid or something.
I had it at like 25 from like throwing up from drinking too much, and I guess,
and
just
the puke got in your eye.
I guess just
head in the toilet.
Yeah.
Ugh, God.
And I had to fly the next day. I was hungover with pink eye, and I had to fly. It was a flight home from Alberta to Montreal, and I got a middle.
And you were in Alberta? Ugh, just worse, man.
Yeah, I've spent like 20 hours in my life in Alberta, and I got shit faced and got pink eye. That's what happened.
Oh man!
But I got the middle.
Wait, you were the toilet. Which toilet were you throwing up in, the airplane bathroom?
No, I got pink eye from throwing up in the venue bathroom.
Ugh. God, I mean,
but then on the flight the next day, they sit me between these like two huge guys, and I'm like sweating and hungover and pink eye and disgusting. So I literally just went, it was like a 3-hour flight. I went to the bathroom and sat in there the entire time.
That can't have been better.
It was better than the seat I had, that's for sure. It's spacious in those bathrooms.
Jesus, but
are they? I only imagine them as small, and yeah. The small.
Yes, they're small, but they're bigger than sitting next to two huge people.
Oh yeah.
In a middle seat.
Ugh, God. Ugh. Ugh. One time I took my friend gave me edibles before I was going on a flight to Winnipeg, and she gave me like this little bag of caramel candies that were medicated or whatever, edibles. And I was just like, I started eating one waiting in line to go through security. And then I'm just like casually snacking on them, like not really thinking. And then like, there's maybe like 9 or 7 in there. And like, I don't remember what she said, but the dosage was definitely take like 1 or 2 and not take the whole thing. And I reach into the little bag of caramel candies and there's like none left. I'm like, oh fuck, this always happens too with edibles. They just like taste so fucking good, but then it's like you're like, oh stop, don't eat the whole thing, like what the, it doesn't make sense, like
no, it's the worst.
Scientifically it doesn't make sense for stoners to like,
yeah.
It's like already a munchie
and I also like
gets you insanely fucked up.
A friend of mine tweeted once that edibles only kick in when they hear you talking shit about them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Except I don't really do that, but because I, I never also am like waiting for it to kick in. It's just like, oh, all of a sudden I accidentally ate too much and then I'm like fucked. But then so on this plane ride, I was just sitting in the chair and like eyes closed, and I could hear people like whispering in the plane, and they're like, it smells like weed. But I'm like, what? I just ate it. And I'm like thinking maybe I'm like, it's like, I'm so stoned and nervous. It's like, I'm sweating and the smell of weed is coming out of my pores. And for like a moment, like, I swear, like, I thought I was just on like a train instead of like an actual plane. And I was like, oh yeah, I'm on a plane right now. And I was like fucked up for the rest of that day, and it was like a morning flight too. Anyway,
one of the last times I went to visit my dad, I like took a bunch of like weed gummies with me, like from Reese's show. Yeah. And like I just mixed them into a big Ziploc of like snacks, and I was like, there's just like 2-bite brownies and shit in there. And then when I was like coming back, I decided to like bring one with me on the plane. And what I like to do with, because I'm like not very sensitive to edibles for some reason, so with gummies, they work better for me if I like dissolve them in water first and then drink the water rather than just chew on them. Yeah. So I did that, and I had like a whole water bottle of it, and then they wouldn't let me go through security with a full water bottle. So I was like, so I just like chugged it. And then like, I like to get to the airport really early. I'm one of those like paranoid idiots who's like, listen, 6 hours minimum, you know? Because I just sincerely, like, I'm going to bring a computer full of movies anyway. Like, I'd rather sit at like the gate and just like watch shit than like be at home stressing about not making it. Yeah, so then I just got really high, like just sitting at the gate waiting for my flight to board. And then by the time we were boarding, it was already wearing off, because it was also like a very, like one of those very spiky but quake like highs. Anyway.
Yeah.
But I totally get the mentality of like needing to get there early, because there's something so something so drastic about missing a plane. It's not a bus or anything like that. You miss a plane, it's gone. It's in the sky.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not just grabbing.
Not like a train or a bus would come, you that like come back for you, but it's like, it's less tangible.
Yeah. I guess the difference is I understand how those work.
Also, why are both of our weed, like our edible stories in like a fucking airport?
I've had many times going through security. Where like I like to travel with wet wipes, but if there's any like liquid in your bag, they'll stop you. And on at least like 10 occasions going through airport security, I've been like flagged and had to be like, oh, it's for sure the wet wipes. Like I like to use wet ones on my ass, I guess. Everyone
what in the other liquids has to know do this. You have though that you were like trying to sneak in or whatever?
Yeah, there's like alcohol inside of it or.
Okay. a couple of times I've gone through airports, like coming back from New York, like trying to get back into Canada. I was maybe like 15 or 16 with my uncle and my grandma, and I had this empty little like trinket that I like put weed in, but it was empty. I just had it at, like at the very bottom of the bag that I took with me on that trip. So I had that stopped at security, but it was empty. And then like they opened it and smelled it. And I got in major trouble for that when I got home, cause it was like empty. So and I was like fucking 15, but, and then another time I went to the airport and I had my packs on my person, like my packs weed vape. Not sponsored. My packs weed vape like in my chest pocket, and then I was like, oh fuck. So I opened it and I was like, oh shit, there's like burnt weed. So I tried to like, I just went over to the garbage at the end of like the table where you put all your luggage before it goes into the X-ray. And I tried to like quickly empty it, and they were like, oh, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, nothing. I'm just like emptying this vape. I think weed was legal by then though, but I'm not entirely sure. And they're like, oh, like, what is it? And I'm like, and I'm a very terrible liar. And like, I feel like if, even if I lied and said it was like a tobacco product, like they would have found out that it wasn't. So I was just like, it's like weed, but it's all vaped out and there's like no psychoactives, like there's no psychoactives on it or anything. And it's like, I emptied it. And then they're just like, oh yeah. So they took like all my shit and then they put me in this room and then literally like fucking, I'm just like standing at the back or they take me into the room. I'm standing behind beyond security. And then I'm just standing waiting. And then all of a sudden like fucking 7 airport cops come riding in on bicycles. And I'm just like, oh God, I hope this isn't for me. But they're talking to like the fucking people that were putting me through. And then they took me into the room and then the fucking cop that was interrogating me was just like, oh, so what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, I'm going, I don't remember if I was going to Montreal or going to Winnipeg, but I said one of those. And then he was like, oh, what do you do for school? And I was like, I'm not in school. And he's like, what do you do for work? And blah, blah, blah. And just like, I don't know, just like lecturing me about how like weed's bad or whatever the fuck. And was like, yeah, it was stupid of me to fucking bring my fucking vape, like forget that I had my vape on me.
Sound like squares.
Yeah. Jeez.
Those fucking airport. But I think it was just really funny, like seeing them like bike in.
Yeah.
They were like all on bikes.
Indoor biking is always odd.
Yeah. And they're all like wearing like cop shorts and shit, like the shorts.
Do you guys remember flying like pre, I guess like 9/11 is really when they like turned on all the security like protocol. Do you guys remember flying?
Not really. I was really young and I didn't really start like going on planes a lot until I was like 7. So that was like after 9/11.
I was like, I would have taken back then as like a little kid, mostly like local flights, I feel like in Bolivia and stuff. And those are, those have always been pretty chill and remain to this day. Like, I feel like I was just like geographically too far removed from like 9/11 for it to matter immediately, you know?
Yeah. Mm. I don't remember it either, but I do, like, I've heard stories of airports and how they worked prior. And it sounds like bonkers to think about, like, yeah, you could just like walk onto a plane, no problem.
Yeah, I mean, you'd still do that with like trains and stuff, like,
yeah,
planes are the only ones and like you could still cause like quite a lot of damage from a train, you know, with a train or a bus or like any kind of mass like transfer. I mean, if you've seen that Sandra Bullock movie,
Speed. I was just about to, so good. Trains can cause damage. I mean, it's like a 1,000 cars put into one, like the force of it.
And you could just like board it, no problem. There's no screening, there's no security, you just get on the train.
Yeah. And they're just like on land, like straight up.
Straight up land.
Straight up on land near us. Although like planes, they just come down.
I feel like there could have been a lot of different alternatives. Like we have trains, we have planes, we have cars. But in terms of like what could have existed and the options that like were plausible,
yeah,
there's a lot.
I mean, like, there was blimp travel for a while. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, hot air balloon.
People would go in. Yeah, that's so inefficient because it's like it's for only like you can only fit like 4 people in a hot air balloon.
Yo, imagine like, why would you even invent that? Who needed that?
I mean, that was the only way that they could fly. That was the way that's how they tried to fly back in the day. They didn't have planes before planes. They didn't have planes before planes.
I'm researching. When was the hot air balloon invented?
I'm pretty sure it was before planes because it was.
Okay, I want to hear guesses.
Oh, fuck. I can't guess a date, but I'm guessing.
Yeah, I want to hear
planes. 1958.
19, what?
1758.
Is that it? Ooh. I say the same.
No, you have to have a different one.
Fuck. Oh, God. I like that answer. That's a good one. I don't want to make it a competition.
Well, it's remarkably close. 1783.
Oh, there you go.
So someone in 1783 was just like, I want to fill this giant balloon with hot air, with fire air, and that'll take me into the sky. And everyone was like, yeah.
Well, people had to, you know, for science.
For science.
I'd be so bad at Big Brother. Like, I don't even want to make a guess. I'll just give it to Ines.
Ines, now that you're watching Big Brother, do you feel like you'd be good at it?
No.
Why?
Because
I think you'd be good at some parts of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I think I could do the memory prompts okay, but I don't think I could do like social game or whatever because I would be so annoyed at having to be around people all the time and not be able to be by myself and be with random people I don't know or like.
And having
I
to
would
fake,
just lose
yeah,
my shit on them.
Pretend.
I would not want to hang out with them. I wouldn't want to talk game with anyone. I would.
She'd be like the Josh.
You think?
Well, no, because like Josh's whole vibe was like, oh, I'm the lone wolf. Oh, sorry, you cut out.
Yeah, I know. I keep freezing. I don't know what to do about it.
I mean, your audio is good, but your video lags a little bit.
Okay, well, that's good, at least for the podcast. Mm.
Do you think you're a Josh?
No, she would be like smarter.
Yeah.
And actually, no. I mean, I think the game because I don't think
like worse than Josh in a way, but more self-aware than Josh, but just like too grumpy to like.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a hard. I mean, yeah, because there's like people who get on and they're like super grumpy, but because they're like so physical, like they're what people call comp beasts or whatever.
Yeah,
they can get away with like being a little bit less likable because they're like, but I mean, you know, if you have, I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you think it takes to be good at it?
Which part?
The game.
I think it takes, first of all, taking the game seriously, which I don't think I take very seriously. I think I also like would not, I would like hate their whole like, make the kitchen dirty, now clean it, sponsored by Sunlight.
Yeah.
Like, I would be fuck right off with
that.
Yeah,
I would be like, honestly, no.
Just,
yeah, totally.
Experiment. I think, like, life is enough of a social experiment. I don't want to, like, be further experimented on, you know?
Yeah, exactly. This frozen shot of Vanessa is so funny. Oh, okay, good. But, yeah. But what I think it takes to be good at the game is, from what I can tell, it's a lot of it is social. Like a lot of it is the social part of the game.
Well, that's it. Is it the game is all about tiptoeing that line between like building strong relationships, but also keeping intact the fact that you're playing a game and these people are your competitors.
Yeah, like looking out for yourself more than anyone.
Yeah, but anyone who strays too far to one side or the other will get evicted. So you kind of have to maintain that middle line between, like, I'm friends with these people, but I'm going to screw them.
Yeah. Because then it just starts getting messy.
Yeah, because you see so many people, like, take offense to things when it's like, no, this is the literal point of the game. And then other people who are just about the game don't develop any bonds that won't take them far.
Yeah, I feel like you could get away, I don't know, with maybe being like just like not as much of a social player, but just like be observant and like kind of have like a base level relationship with everyone. I don't know.
I feel like you would both be good at the social part, and like Tyler, you would be very like calculated about it. You would be very Machiavellian about it. And Kayla, I think you would do it more like organically. You'd be very like intuitive about your social game, but I think it would still work. Not that you aren't both like naturally like social and charismatic, but I think like in terms of playing the game, I think that's how it would go.
I don't think I'd be able to fake relationships with people I don't like, though.
I think I could fate. I can do that. But I think if there's anything where I have to like keep secrets or I don't, I wouldn't like, I don't know. I think for example, like a secret power or something. But I think if like people were telling me things, I would be able to keep those secrets.
Honestly, when I saw that they have a chess set in there, that's when I was like, oh, I would win because like I would just be the guy who plays everybody in chess all the time. And that would be like how I get to know people and talk about things. And I would just sit in there.
Yeah, see, this is what I mean. I don't think you would fake anything, but I think you would be like strategic about like approaching building relationships and like who to put more time with or whatever. Whereas like I think like Kayla would like go with the flow of things and like still end up being like, you know, like kind of.
I would sit in the hot tub.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she would let the people come to her.
Yeah. Know? Kiss the rings, bring me some doinks. Cigarettes, smoking doinks. I wonder if they ever get cigars. They get like, I don't know if they get like a limited amount of alcohol for the week or if they just get alcohol when it's like those parties that they throw sometimes or whatever, or like special when they have like a feast or whatnot. But
they seem to sometimes have alcohol at like the dinner table when it's nothing special, like
like a beer or something.
Yeah,
like a Modelo.
This week's sponsor, Modelo beer. Cool.
Modelo.
It's probably pretty easy to sneak some acid into the Big Brother house.
Oh yeah. God.
That would be a trip.
Yeah.
When you're down to like, I don't think it wouldn't be fun at the beginning, but when you're down to like the final four or five and you really know these people and you're comfortable and then like y'all just do acid one day, that'd be really fun.
I feel like it'd be useful to like take it and like micro dose the whole time.
Yeah.
Like that would be like a good like approach to like staying like.
Yeah.
I have to pee.
Should we?
Can I pause? Or you don't have to pause, but just wait, and then we could.
I'm going to pee too then.
Okay. And okay.
You have pee to break? Pee.
No.
I have to pee. I'm sorry. As you can see, we are professionals.
Whoa, synchronized sit.
Yeah.
I was waiting there forever.
We're so professional. I don't know. I feel like doing like acid in the Big Brother house gives me like a friggin' testing acid on like lab rats and making them do a maze vibes. Gives me those vibes.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, because I think it'd be one of those situations where I would make like a weird slash bad situation worse rather than improving it. Like you're trapped in this house and there's like nothing for you to like do to distract yourself really. And like,
But Tyler said it like he doesn't mind doing acid when he's like, cause me, I cannot do acid if I but like in any sort of bad mindset.
But, well, I like psychedelics for the challenge. Because I like it when things get hard.
You're so weird.
That's called masochism.
Manufacturing hardship is I feel like Tyler's like general MO.
Is what?
Is your general MO for life.
What is? I didn't hear the beginning.
Oh, manufacturing hardship.
Oh yeah. That's accurate.
He's like, oh, I've lived too privileged a life. Let me just make this hard for a quick bit.
Kinda.
Aw. Aw. Must be so hard.
No, that's the thing. It's all pretty easy.
So not. yeah.
Can I share a fact with you guys regarding please. The topic of your podcast?
Yeah.
So I can't speak to like how, like where this applies, but I think all of Latin America, 1111 doesn't mean make a wish. It means someone's thinking about you.
Hmm. Aww.
Which I think is less pressure. So
yeah.
Listener, if you ever catch yourself seeing 1111 and you don't have anything to wish in mind, just pretend someone's thinking about you.
Or send it to someone. Whoever comes up, whoever you think of, send it to them that it's 1111.
Yeah.
That's sweet. I like that. Whichever. But I think that could be a... That's cute. I like that. I'm thinking of these nuts. Just joking. Okay, I'm sorry.
Nice one.
So, Ines, do you have any... last minute wishes? Any last minute thoughts going through your mind?
I wish I could be petting the cat's belly right now.
On that note, where can the people find you if you want to be found?
They can find me on Instagram at clout_Atlas. Or they can read my articles on The Beaverton, published under my name, Ines Anaya.
Yeah.
And that's about it. That's it.
Thank you, Ines. Thank you so much for being on our little show.
Thank you so much for having me.
I love you. Tyler?
Yeah. I think the theme of this episode is we all love Ines.
Ines is the best. Ines is the best. I mean, there's so much. There's so much. So much of our relationship to unpack. Like, we've been through so much. You've seen me do so many things.
Very vague.
This could be like the longest podcast ever. But alas, it'll be a two-parter. We'd love to have you back one day.
Yeah, I'll be back whenever, you know.
Tyler, any parting words?
You know, just enjoy it.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.